Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 88, recorded on Thursday, 9th February 2012. Ultra Ajax Size. IBM Product Manager for Notes, Jason Dumont, joins Darren and I to discuss the roadmap for Lotus clients, Notes, iNotes and Connections Mail, through 2012, including the exciting Social Edition release. He also fills us in on the details around that plugin, the ability to render Notes applications in the browser as if in your Notes client. All this and more on This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. I'm Stuart McIntyre and we're back for episode 88 of the weekly podcast about all things collaboration and social. I'm joined by Darren Duke. Hello, Darren.
Hello, Stuart.
Hello. How's your week been?
It's good. I spent the last entire week looking for the Do Not Disturb button on my new VoIP phone.
And did you find it?
I have. It's on Do Not Disturb now.
Excellent. That was funny last week. So thank you for that. And business good for you?
Yeah. There's a distinct pickup in the amount of interest. I don't think it's related to Lotusphere because we only really had one client meeting there. But there does seem to be a whole lot of interest around connections and TDI right now.
Excellent. Yeah, we're certainly seeing the same thing. Lots of requests for TDI integration. So fantastic. It's great. It's buzzing. And we are delighted, really truly delighted to be joined by Jason Dumont. Hi there, Jason.
Good day, guys. How are you?
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's fantastic to have you on. I can't believe, in fact, we haven't had you on in the first 88 episodes of the show. So it's fantastic to have you with us this week.
Well, 88 sounds like a great episode to join in, so I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. So do you want to tell us what you do for IBM?
Sure. So I am the program director responsible for messaging and collaboration client strategy on IBM. Essentially, my product management responsibilities include the Notes client, iNotes. In fact, you guys might recall I had the privilege of taking iNotes from paper to product about 10 years or so ago. I'm also responsible for the newly announced IBM Connections Mail, as well as the Notes application browser plugin that we need to formally name, but showed really publicly for the first time at this past Lotus Fair.
Excellent. We'll get to all those topics as we go through. How long have you been with IBM?
I'm celebrating in an official capacity my 20th year this year, so
Wow. Pretty
much straight out of college.
You'd have been out for murder by now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, who knew that it would end up going like this, you know? I'm waiting for somebody to come by and say, Dumont, joke's over, it's been fun and all, like trading places, and then, you know, escort me to the door.
So have you been with IBM throughout, or were you Iris Lotus to begin with?
I was Lotus to begin with, started there in 1991, and then was there as part of the acquisition.
Okay, wow. Congratulations on 20 years. That's fantastic. So
Thank you.
I thought we'd kick us off with a really kind of chunky, crunchy question to get us started, something really kind of in-depth and technical. So what's it like to work for Ed Brill, Jason? No,
well,
I'm not going to be that mean to you. So
there goes his, you're not going to see 21 years in
No, seriously, it might be worth actually for the audience. It's always interesting to see you guys sat up on that stage at Lotusphere with all the product managers, and it truly is an impressive sight actually, and to hear all the different things that you're responsible for. And so just for people that are interested, I'm guessing you do work directly for Ed, and who else kind of lair?
Let's see, Scott Souder is there as well, working with Chris Baker on some of the Lotus Live stuff. We have Pete Jansen, who's looking at our app dev stuff. We've got Jan Kenny, who really looks after what we're doing in the traveler and mobile space. And she helps a great deal with what we do with some of our early design partner work. We've got – who else is on the team? We've got Sarab Kalal, who's our new server product manager. And let's see, we've got Jeanette Barlow looking after docs. It's a pretty good team of crew we got there.
Very, very impressive. And Dan, do you know if the recording of Ask the Product Managers is available for streaming? Because it certainly was streamed live, wasn't it? It would be really interesting to direct people to watch that first sort of 10 minutes of that session just to find out who all these folks are.
I haven't seen it on the web at all or seen anything come across, but just so people who are at the Ask a Product Managers know, Jason was the gentleman that was asked, are you Iron Man?
And I came up with a good response that unfortunately I didn't come up with on the spot, so I had to Twitter it later, but I said, you can just call me Robert Downey Jr. I'm not sure what it says, but that is I've transitioned from a years ago, it used to be John Cusack, and then I kind of morphed into this Dave Matthews area. And lately, it seems to be people are mistaking me for Robert Downey Jr., so I'm not sure what to make of that.
I think you're definitely going up in the world if you end up.
Am I? Okay. At least I've got a good career going in the movies.
Awesome. Well, let's get to the topics that we asked you on to discuss, much as it's great to chat to you, Jason. So why don't we kick off? One of the major announcements at Lotusphere was Notes and Domino's Social Edition. So do you want to tell us what Social Edition is and also perhaps why it's been renamed or why it's been named as that product name as well?
Sure. So the Notes Domino Social Edition is our next feature release for the product. It's scheduled for delivery in the second half of this year. And unlike, I would say, .0 type feature releases that we've done in the past, we've really tried to take an innovative approach here with this particular release that really has two primary functions. One was to continue to address the consumability of the client. The second being deliver, you know, innovative new features that are going to continue to evolve and advance the platform forward. And so Social Edition was really a great way to do that. So if you look under the covers at what Social Edition is about, it's really in essence a feature overlay on top of what would be an 8.5.4 type maintenance release. So we've got a very solidified foundation of code here that many folks now are comfortable with, have in deployment in their organizations. And so this way, with that as a foundation, we can deliver some of the new capabilities that Social Edition will provide without that having to mandate an underlying change in architecture that one would normally associate with a .0 type release. So it's really a dual-pronged approach to not only deliver new capabilities, but do so in a way that really makes it easy for our customers to consume and deploy them.
And just to clarify some areas, there is going to be an 8.5.4.
Correct. Yes, there will be an 8.5.4. It'll be virtually a simultaneous shipment. And then the Social Edition will be a functional overlay on top of that package. So you'll lay down the 8.5.4 maintenance release, and then on top of that, you would install the Social Edition capabilities.
And Social Edition was what was called Notes Next.
Correct. Now, obviously, with the announcement of Social Edition, we will have a new Notes Next, if you will, which will represent the functional release that will take place after 2012.
Okay, I think that makes sense. And this is also what Ed was talking about when he was talking about Notes Foo at the end of last year as well?
Exactly. We were, you know, until Lotusphere, we weren't really able to actually announce the branding of it. But what we referred to as Foo as just a sort of a general placeholder term is indeed what we'll be delivering a Social Edition this year.
So just to clarify, so no one has any issues after this podcast, Notes Next equals Notes Foo, which equals Notes Social Domino Edition. Social Edition.
You could certainly say that. I would probably say, just for full clarity's sake, Notes Next 2012, because we may start, okay, you know, in the months ahead, referring to a Notes Next that represents the feature release after Social Edition. I'd say what a lot of customers probably don't understand, and you know, there's really no reason that they should, is that when we come out with a .0 type release, there are requirements around updating foundational components to the release that generate a greater rate of change to the code base to the customer. So if we had called it a .0 type release, it would have mandated us to really introduce more change to the code base, which is certainly, I think, not what our customer base is looking for at this time. If anything, they want us to increase the consumability of it. And so that's the reason that we've taken this approach.
Brilliant. I think that's really clear. Thank you very much, Jason, for that. And also, I'm guessing that it mandates having 8.5.4, so you wouldn't be able to install Social Edition on top of 8.5.3. You've got to go to 8.5.4 first, and then this overlay on top.
That is exactly correct.
Okay, so perhaps we can drill down then into, first of all, what gets delivered in 8.5.4? Because, you know, is that effectively just going to be bug fixes on top of 8.5.3? So it shouldn't be the latest maintenance release. So customers that don't want to, you know, go down the road of new features they have to train their users in or whatever can just go to 8.5.4 and that just brings them up to date with the code base. Is that right?
From a philosophical approach, that is correct. I mean, the idea is to isolate in the maintenance release the, you know, quality improvements and not introduce a host of new features. We definitely want to put the focus in terms of new features and capabilities into the Social Edition client. That said, as there typically are with maintenance releases, there may be a small number of features that are, while new features or enhancements to existing features, are really geared towards improving the overall quality or usability of the product. So even if you upgrade to 8.5.4, there may be a small number of enhancements in the maintenance release, but the idea is to, you know, focus on consumability enhancements and just general improvements to the code base in 8.5.4 and put the bulk of the meaningful new features into the Social Edition release.
So Jason, let's take a look at it, you know, at the client level then. So if a user's currently running, say, iNotes, what are they going to notice that's different when they install Social Edition?
Okay, so when you look at the enhancements that we're making in iNotes in the Social Edition release, there's some pretty cool things there. So you're going to see the more consistent user interface. So what we had in prior years referred to as being related to Project Vulcan, which really was a strategy we announced 2 years ago. The products you're seeing this year, in essence, are the delivery upon that strategy. So that significant improvement in the similarity of the user interface, not only between iNotes and Notes, but also now between Connections 4, so that you're going to see what we've represented as a black top-line navigation model with common sets of services. So that one UI that will be in iNotes Social Edition. We'll also have support for embedded experiences there that we talked about a lot, or I think in the context of the opening general session, we called them embedded applications. That will be supported in iNotes. Doing some additional enhancements to our rich text editor, to our unified business card, adding significant improvements to the degree of connections files integrations we'll have within iNotes. That'll be similar to a sidebar metaphor that users of the Notes client enjoy today. We're making enhancements to the calendar entry forms and the general calendar UI to give it a cleaner, fresher look, as well as to provide improved busy time scheduling capabilities. So you'll have a widget that is dynamic and very much like the note scheduling widget that users of the rich client see today. Looking at making additional improvements around what we're doing with live text. So that's been, for me, one of the key features of the Notes client that has not been in iNotes. And so I'm very excited that we're adding live text capabilities into iNotes. We'll also be adding a system tray notifier for new messages and alarms. So again, similar to what we did in Notes 8.5.3, where you now have a user preference to enable a pop-up notification, you'll have that kind of notification capability in the context of the browser client. So if you happen to be working on a presentation or something, you can have a notification pop up that'll tell you, hey, you know, you got a new email and the email you got is actually relevant to the presentation you're working on. You'd be able to click on the notification and open that memo. A couple other cool capabilities we have going are secure attachment viewing on the server. So for a lot of customers, you know, they really want to lock down the configuration of the client. You know, a lot of the admins and developers that I speak to have a low regard for the technical capabilities of their average end user. In fact, I used to use a
don't talk product. About Stuart like that.
Oh, I say only nice things. I kid the ones I love. You know, I used to use my mom as the idea of an average end user, you know, and would I trust my mom to do the right thing? And, you know, over 20 years, my mom's a quick study, so she's become more proficient. So now I have to use my dad as an example. And when I ask myself, you know, would my dad do the right thing when it comes to, you know, management of, you know, attachments that may come down to his local client, the answer is no. You know, even though we provide, you know, secure log off capabilities, you know, if he was on a Win32 machine and you view an attachment, it puts a copy of that attachment in the system temp directory. Now, our secure log off will go and scrub that out. But, you know, if he saved it out to the desktop, There's no way for us to really access that. And so one way to mitigate that risk is to have server-based attachment viewing so that that way the contents of the document never come down to the client. And so having a secure server-based attachment viewing is a cool new addition to the portfolio there.
And it's faster. We see the same thing in Qwikr 8.5 where you're now able to preview in their terms an entire attachment, and there's literally hundreds if not thousands of attachment types in there that just surface on the same HTML page. And if you have a 20 meg PowerPoint to download and you're on a crappy internet connection at a hotel, the preview and the embedded view of that works so much better.
Yeah, in fact, that's going to be key to some of the things that we're doing in the embedded experience space, you know. So one of the great things about what we've done over the years is we've always delivered these collaborative capabilities in the context of the business process. Embedded experiences allows us to take that a step further and deliver these capabilities not only in the context of the business process, but in the context more so of a single application or a single user experience, whereby, you know, if we use that file preview use case as an example, for most users today, they'll receive an email. That email contains a link out to a website, typically a connections or Qwikr repository. They'll go, they'll download some content, and then 30 seconds later, they're in Symfony or some office productivity suite. In that short span of time, they've gone through three user experiences, and they're now looking at this data completely disconnected from the note that brought them to it in the first place. Embedded experiences will basically deliver that same set of capabilities in time where you could not only get that notification in email, but you'll be able to preview the contents of the document. You'll be able to see the revision history. You'll be able to see, you know, who the document has been shared with. And more importantly, you're going to start to see an injection of social capabilities into what has been traditionally a messaging experience, whereby you'll have the benefit and access to the comments and feedback that people who've already have reviewed that file have made on it before you review it. So in the same way in our consumer lives, before we go buy a piece of consumer electronics, we go out to Amazon to see what folks who've already bought it have had to say about it. You'll have that same sort of benefit of the wisdom of the crowds in your professional environment. So before I go, you know, review the presentation for an upcoming meeting, I'll have the benefit of seeing what everyone else has already said about it before I go and review it, and therefore I'll be able to do a better job.
I've often thought what it would be like to put a rating system on someone's profile.
I think not too off in the future. I mean, I think rating and tagging is very applicable to someone's profile.
I think Darren Duke would have no stars.
Darren, I'd give you a star, buddy.
Superb. Okay, that's great. And then, you know, it sounds pretty exciting what's coming to what's effectively a web browser view. I mean, in years gone by, it always felt like iNotes was kind of the poor cousin in some ways. Although it was a really rich mail experience, it still felt like the Notes rich client had more in the way of functionality. But it sounds like you're almost bringing the web UI up to speed with where Notes has been.
We're certainly trying. I think that there's been a trend over the last few years of more and more customers looking to, increase the use of browser clients or standardize on browser clients. I think for most organizations, that starts typically as a TCO conversation. Sometimes it, you know, veers into a discussion on virtualized clients, but typically, you know, the business goal is the same, which is to reduce total cost of ownership. In some organizations, they realize that any installed rich client can, you know, gate their own ability to consume innovation, you know. So when we come out with Social Edition this year, if you just upgraded to 8.5.3 in October of last year, you may find that as much as you want Social Edition, you might get gated in your ability to deploy it based on your own corporate hardware and software upgrade cycle. So a lot of folks also look at a browser client as a way to escape that because they can centralize all the code in one place. And so we've certainly been looking to decrease, or if not in many areas, eliminate any existing feature gaps between the Notes Rich client and the iNotes browser client. And I think what we have planned for Social Edition really closes, I think, the last remaining, significant feature deltas. Obviously, there'll be an occasional one-off of a certain feature that's in Notes that is not in iNotes. But, you know, generally, I'd say there's only one area where we don't look to provide a high fidelity of feature parity, and that one area would be the area of desktop application integration. So many folks don't know this, but, you know, if you wanted to, you could use Word as your default editor in Notes. Obviously, that kind of metaphor wouldn't work in a browser client, because one of the benefits of the browser approach is all you you need is a browser. So to require, you know, some other piece of installed software, you know, wouldn't make sense. So with the exception of that one area, I think that's where you're going to find, you know, a significant increase in feature parity and the user experience between both the rich client and the browser client.
And it's an interesting conversation. To surface your email on the web would be free, but if you need Word as the editor, that's $250, please.
Exactly. Especially when, you know, I think most organizations now are realizing, are they getting that degree of business value out of an application like that when there's, you know, the free alternatives like Symfony out there? So I think there's a willingness to pursue solutions that don't have those kinds of requirements.
And I'll just add my 2 cents, because I go backwards and forwards between Real Notes and iNotes a lot. Backwards and forwards, depending on where I am. And the only kind of, there's a couple of things I miss when I move to iNotes. One is the colorization of the rows, because I live and die by what color your email comes in at,
right,
which I really miss in iNotes. Number two is Lotus Protector for mail security integration. I can't, you know, add messages to the LPMS on the back end like I can in Notes with the built in to the template, and I forgot what the third one is, so it can't be that important. I know what it is. It's that the calendar workflow, for want of a better reason, where the buttons are in a slightly different place. It always takes me a couple of seconds in iNotes to figure out how to reschedule a meeting.
Right. So I can give you some good news. On the first two, those are things that are being looked at and considered. On the third one, I think you're getting into just an area that, you know, speaks to that what we do with iNotes and what we really have always done is set out to deliver a cutting edge web application. You know, so we didn't, you know, iNotes was the second generation browser client. The first was the webmail template, which I would say is a failed effort to try and recreate the Notes experience in a browser at a time when there really weren't a lot of technologies that went, you know, beyond what a strict HTML implementation would allow you to do. So when we started work on iNotes, we really wanted to develop a cutting-edge web app. And so often if, you know, stuck between a choice of, you know, doing something that is more consistent with the standards of web apps, or, you know, sort of not even necessarily a standard, but the experience folks have had from using other web applications, either in their consumer lives or their personal lives, we may lean in that direction a little more than, say, just relying on what the Notes behavior was.
Well, I'm glad about the colorization, because like I said, I think that, to me, that's an important way that I rank what I'm going to do in the next 10 minutes. And I always miss that in iNotes. And when people say you didn't respond to my email, like I used to be able to always just blame iNotes. Now I've got no excuse.
Well, do I dare ask what color my email shows up in?
IBM are blue.
Okay, good.
Ironically enough.
At least I'm staying on really, brand.
I didn't really mean to do it that way, but yes, IBM comes through in blue.
And just a quick question on iNotes before we move on, Jason. At the moment, we have light and full modes, don't we, and also the ultralight for mobile devices. Are those three versions going to stay in when we get to social edition?
Actually, thank you so much for bringing that up. That's one of the enhancements that we're making that I didn't mention. So one of the things we've done over the course of the 8.5x code stream is, now we've always been an Ajax-based application. I'd say we were the first or second commercially available Ajax-based app.
Before it was even named Ajax.
That's correct, about 6 months before it was in the popular vernacular. But we, over the 8.5x code stream, we've been doing work to ultra Ajax a size, if I can create a word there, the user interface. And so the benefit has been that, so yeah, just to refresh in case folks don't know, in the current version of the product, there are three modes. There's full mode, which is the, you know, the flagship experience that provides the greatest set of capabilities, greatest integration with other parts of the portfolio. Shortly after it was first released in 5.08, we introduced light mode because we had users using iNotes in parts of the globe that were very much bandwidth constrained at that time, parts of Asia, Africa, South America. And so we created light mode to have a subset of the capabilities of the full mode, but really designed to get you into your inbox quickly and allow you to be productive and do most of the things that people typically do if they just want to get in there and send a quick email. The third mode was ultralight, and that was designed for touch face user interfaces and for mobile device support if you're not using Traveler. Well, with all the work that we've done with this Ultra Ajax work over the 8.5x code stream, we've really now negated the need to have light mode. So in essence, we get the best of both worlds as we move forward into iNotes Social Edition, where we're going to drop down to just two modes. There'll be full mode and they'll be ultralight. And in full mode, you will have the benefit of all the capabilities that full mode has traditionally presented and all of the performance benefits that light mode introduced. So it should be good news for end users. They'll have a better user experience, and it should be good news for admins because we're really reducing the number of things that they need to administer.
That sounds tremendous. I think a lot of people will be very pleased with that. And then I guess that was always what we hoped for light mode, and it always seemed like that the features would come first in there, almost as kind of a productionized beta, if you like, and then make it into the full version. It sounds like that's what you've come to with Social Edition. So great work on that. And looking at the notes version of Social Edition, what are the major features there? I guess a lot of them are in common with what you've already mentioned for iNotes. Are there any particular highlights you'd like to bring up in terms of what's coming to the client?
Yeah, and we certainly are trying to do a better job as we introduce new features, introducing them in both the rich client and the browser client simultaneously. I think that, so things like we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it in the context of iNotes, but what embedded experiences or embedded apps represents is pretty significant, because when you talk about, becoming a social business, which is, really what our brand strategy is about, is helping our customers transform themselves into a social business. You're really talking about leveraging the combined social and business information to, engage expertise, share and gather information, make better decisions in a more timely manner. And so providing that union of social collaboration and business information in context is really key to that end user productivity message. And so through the introduction and support of the social application container, which is built on the Open Social Standard, we really have an opportunity to really make, significant advancements in that space. And so embedded experiences, I would say, is, certainly a focal point of what we're doing within the Social Edition client. That said, there's a lot to make the traditional Notes customer base happy, some features that I think folks have been asking for some time. So additional capabilities beyond the significance that Open Social presents, things like the ability to click on a URL in edit mode and have it be live. That's something that folks have been asking for.
Excellent.
golf clap, everyone. We're doing some things to kind of, again, modernize the user interface so you can categorize your inbox by date. So instead of saying, February 9th, 2012, it'll say today, and then you'll see yesterday and last week and older messages to kind of, group and segment messages in a more intuitive way in that way. You'll have, similar to how you have app tabs in the Firefox browser, you'll have a sort of an app tab, if you will, for mail, calendar, and contacts. So you'll have single-click access to all of those. Another feature that folks have been requesting for some time is the rolling calendar view. So you can have the best way to describe this would be sort of additive weeks where you can look at a month, and as you go from the fourth week of February, we can then, bring in the first week of March, and you can just keep navigating to the next week, and you'll always have this sort of rolling, time span of 4 weeks, regardless of whether or not that crosses over multiple months.
So this is what Ed was talking about on his blog this week when he was talking about skeuomorphics and so on.
Could be. I haven't seen this week's blog posting. I did see something yesterday around some comments that Jeff had made on a Jive article, which I thought were great. But I didn't see that particular posting.
But Ed was just outlining, I think, just what you have in that we've been so wedded to an online calendar looking the same as the calendar you would have on your wall. So you always see March or April or May or whatever, whereas this is going to give you the option of actually just being able to see the current month you're working in, even if it straddles, calendar months.
Exactly. So if you just want, what's my forecast for the next 4 weeks, regardless of whether that spans both February and March, we can show you that.
Awesome. Okay. And loads of people, I seem to remember there's going to be a new look and feel to Notes Mail as well. So sort of mimicking a little bit more what the, say, Connections will look like in Connections Next.
Exactly. So what I referred to in the context of our iNotes discussion is that one UI. Notes will be the beneficiary of that as well. So there'll be, in fact, I've done this before. I've taken both user interfaces and put them side by side. And, unless you're really well versed in the clients, if you're, standing at the back of the room or, 10 feet from the projector, it becomes very difficult to tell which is which. So I'm very pleased that that we're getting to that point of consistency in user experience that it becomes difficult to tell what, type of client you're in. So to me, that's good news. It means we're doing our job in that space and making improvements there. So that will be there. Other things that we're going to do, we've got Mac Cocoa support coming. So we'll have a native 64-bit client there on the Mac, mm-hmm. making significant improvements around what we're doing to, again, push messaging capabilities into a connections environment or a social environment. So work to support what we're doing with IBM Connections Mail. And the Notes application browser plugin will also be part of Social Edition. So I think for me, those are probably the big ticket items for Notes Social Edition.
And we think that that was going to be towards the latter half of 2012.
Correct. Yeah. So we're saying second half is sort of the stock answer, I would say, you know, that, you know, probably that midpoint between Q3, Q4 is probably more realistic. But yeah, second half.
Ooh, Lola. I may have to go to Lola again.
Oh, we love having you in Cambridge. It's always a good time to bring everybody to us.
So Jason, I regularly get asked about, you know, if I had a new customer that were moving, you know, we hope from, say, Exchange and, you know, an outlook towards IBM Mail, whatever form that takes, would they go for a web browser version across the board, or would they look to deploy the rich client? And I guess that question gets complicated further now in that we've almost got a third client with the social mail stuff we've been talking about for about 6 months or so now being kind of formalized into IBM Connections Mail as well. So do you want to talk about what that brings us?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a great question, and I do believe that we'll have more opportunities to address that question. You know, I think we're going to have more opportunities to bring users of Exchange onto the Domino platform. So I think it really is still requires you examine it on a, you know, customer by customer basis. I think there's probably no one stock answer that's going to be right for all users in every industry and every geography. But I think as a natural trend, if you will, you know, if you're an Outlook user, there's certainly things that we're doing within the Notes client to make that transition easier. So if you have a need for a rich client, we have things that, you know, in fact, one of the sessions we did that I did with Rom this year at Lotusphere, we probably spent a third of our session on that particular topic, you know, kind of how to mitigate any, you know, transition issues that a former Outlook user might have when using the Notes client. So you can make the Notes client a very user-friendly environment for a former Outlook user. I think it's probably more likely that if you're making that move, they might be leaning more towards browser clients. So certainly I think iNotes is a very easy client for anyone to use, regardless of what your you know, prior messaging experience has been in your professional or consumer life. And then lastly is the support that we're providing here with IBM Connections Mail that will support both a Domino backend as well as an Exchange backend. So if for whatever reason you want to keep your Exchange system in place, you know, we could do that and support that and deliver that messaging experience through the context of Connections Mail in a Connections 4 experience. Because certainly our research is showing, and all of the conversations that I have with customers back that up, that, you know, people don't want their end users living in their inbox. That's not, I think, where the center of your collaborative world should be. And there's lots of work that we've done to look at, you know, how does current implementations of email in some aspects hinder, you know, someone's ability to become a social business. And so if you want to have the most productive experience, it's not really going to be in the context of just an isolated inbox anymore. And so if you want to continue to use Exchange, we think that what we're going to do with IBM Connections Mail is going to provide a better experience, a more meaningful experience, delivering greater business value and enabling people to, you know, make better decisions more efficiently and quickly and get access to expertise than they would if they're just sitting in their Outlook client, you know, hitting Exchange back end. So there are multiple options there.
And would Connections Mail hit the premises version of the apps, or would they also hit the cloud versions like Lotus Live or Office 365?
So in the first instantiation of that offering, it will be just for on-prem, but definitely as we look you know, to future releases beyond what we're going to do this year, we most definitely want to support what we're doing with the smart cloud implementation. We probably won't support a hosted Exchange environment just because you know, the odds of us being able to do what we need to do in that kind of environment might be somewhat gated, but certainly in terms of smart cloud, we would want to support that. And, you know, if you're going to move to a hosted messaging environment at that point, I think you really are just dealing with you know, a hosted commodity, which, you know, in many regards is just like plumbing. It's just there and it works. So if you want to go to a hosted offering, I think there's lots of tangible business value that can be derived from going from Exchange on-prem to a IBM Smart Cloud offering. You know, your messaging experience is still going to be there, but you're going to have a greater user experience and greater integration with the social environment that I think for most organizations will deliver a greater degree of business value.
And when will connections mail be delivered? I guess it's going to need connections next, and I'm assuming it will need something at the Domino end as well to support that.
That's correct. So it will require connections next, and we are targeting a Domino 853 and up platform for what we're going to be supporting on the Domino side. So it will not require an immediate upgrade to 854 Social Edition if you want to use connections mail off a Domino backend.
Okay, that's really good news. I was expecting to have to deploy something else at the Domino end, but that's fantastic if it supports current versions.
Absolutely. And then on the Exchange backend, we're going to support Exchange 2007 and Exchange 2010.
Awesome. That's really good. That's really good. And I have heard a number of times that the use case being described as kind of as a way of triaging mail. So having, you know, the availability to see your current mail, see your new mail coming in, and also to see what's in your calendar. Can you kind of talk to the type of users you think this is going to suit? I mean, is it going to work across the board, or do you think there's just going to be certain users that will get value out of having this?
I think all users are going to get value out of having this. I think, you know, when you have these kinds of conversation, is this going to be a replacement for someone's existing messaging client, be that, you know, Outlook or Outlook Web Access or Notes or iNotes? I'd say not in this initial release. I think it would augment those existing tools. But I think, you know, what you're going to find is what we're looking to achieve in this first release is the old 80-20 rule that, you know, we're going to go and do the 20% of stuff that people do 80% of the time when they're in messaging. So if you just want to, you know, quickly get access to your inbox, you know, read a message, compose a response, do those types of simple actions, you'll be able to do that from the context of Connections Mail. If you need to go and create a complicated repeating meeting with a lot of back-end workflow type of stuff, you know, that would be an instance where you would want to transfer to the native client and do that operation there and then, you know, come back to your social environment. So over time, we'll look to expand the capabilities here. But, you know, we really are looking to deliver a very clean, intuitive, simple, easy to use user experience, you know, because I think it's kind of funny if you look at the market and you look at, you know, what we've done over the 20 plus years of notes development, and you can even, you know, look for similar analogies on the Exchange side. But, you know, you've got very rich, you know, feature-wise, rich clients here, and yet there's, you know, in most cases, I still continue to get feature requests for additional stuff on a daily basis. Yet, when the tablets came out and you've got your iPads and iPhones, it has a, you know, significantly limited subset of capabilities, but people love it. You know, they can't get enough of, you know, how easy and intuitive these user interfaces are, despite the fact that it has just a small fraction of the capabilities of, you know, the rich client. So we think that we can deliver a user experience that will really delight users without necessarily having to provide every feature function under the sun. And so that's really our goal for the near term as it relates to Connections Mail here.
And I think that's the best way to do it. It is, like you said, it's lightweight, it's quick, it's easy, reply, off I go, I'm sorted with that. I don't have to go to a different application or anything like that. And I also think it's interesting that it is very analogous to what you said is a smartphone of a tablet experience, where, you know, people expect rich feature sets, but they also understand that it's not going to be a Notes client on an iPad.
That's correct. And if you're, say, you're an existing Domino customer, this is not a new alternative client that you need to worry about, you know, replacing your existing client. This is, you know, an extension of your existing client. So it's not like you need to plan, is this, you know, some new client that I need to factor into my infrastructure? That's, you know, not at all what we're looking to do here. If you're a Domino customer, you know, iNotes is going to continue to, as we'd already discussed through Open Social, inject social capabilities there. It's really a cross-pollination of capabilities. It's like the old Reese's peanut butter ads. You know, did you get your chocolate in my peanut butter, or is it my peanut butter in your chocolate? You know, I don't know, but it's really tasty. So, you know, one of the benefits of delivering this capability in the context of connections is it stops the end user from having to switch context. So we talked before about that analogy of, you know, getting a file notification and going through three user experiences. If I'm in connections and I want to just quickly check a mail, I don't leave connections to do that. The odds of me, you know, forgetting what I'm doing or getting interrupted as I'm having to switch context and really lose my focus is greatly reduced because I'm not leaving connections to get access to it. I often use a television analogy for customers, which is that for most organizations, if you're doing messaging, you're on the messaging channel and the full screen is messaging. If you want to do social, you have to pick up the remote, switch the channel, and you're on the social channel and it's all social. What we're doing through IBM Connections Mail is the TV equivalent of picture in picture. So you can be on the connections channel, but if you want to have access to what's going on in your mail, boom, you can pop up connections mail and you've got visibility to that. And then, you know, conversely, as we already discussed, you can be in a, you know, a traditional notes experience and have access to your social capabilities through things like open social standards and embedded experiences, embedded apps, things of that nature. So, you know, that multifaceted nature of the user experience is important.
And I think users already do this. They may not know it, but they already use whatever quote-unquote device is the most handy at the time. So when I'm in front of my computer, I'm replying to email via travel on an iPad. When I'm out of the office, I'm using my iPhone. When I'm in Notes, I'm using Notes. When I'm at a customer site, I'm using iNotes, right? So I'm already doing it contextually, and I think embedding into connections is just one further step of that.
That's exactly right, and I think if you take that sort of research and analysis a little bit further, you'd even continue to realize that not only do you sort of work with these various devices in different ways and do different things on them, but the types of activities you're most likely to do on your iPhone is different from the activities you're most likely to do on your rich client. And so we further optimize not only for the device.
Type long emails.
Exactly. So the type of activities you're going to do on that device.
I think that's where IBM is really strong right now. It's, you know, and we've mentioned it on a few podcasts recently, is it feels like the mobile strategy that IBM has just come on leaps and bounds in the last year, you know, from sort of following the market almost to being right up there, if not leading the market in some of your mobile options. And I get the impression what we've done with some of the updates you've mentioned for Notes and iNotes and Connections Mail is almost just kind of broadened out that whole basis so that now whatever context you're working in, whatever location you're working in, whatever device you're working on, you have access to the mail that you need at the time. And so far from saying we're leaving email behind, but saying actually now email has to fit into the way you're working today and the way you're going to work in the future. And you know, it's still an important part of that strategy, but we're just making it as easy and as lightweight as we can.
I'd say that's exactly right. And I'd say for a couple of years, you know, we've been articulating a strategy that supports those points. And for a lot of users, we were probably, as we should have been, a little bit ahead of the market in articulating and evangelizing these concepts. I think now, and one of the reasons we're, you know, had such a strong Lotusphere and there's so much momentum around the environment right now is that I think folks are realizing, hey, you know, that strategy was the right strategy. Customers are realizing, hey, you know, this social revolution is going to happen with or without me. So I need to get out in front of it. And, you know, they're seeing in what we're demoing and what we're delivering this year that these solutions are real, you know. And so I think, you know, it's generating a lot of excitement because systems do need to change. You know, as I discussed, traditional implementations of email, you know, for most people are hampering their evolution to become a social business. You know, when you look at email initially being conceived as this one-to-one communication tool, you know, it's ubiquitous, it's easy to use, it's everywhere, it's asynchronous, you know, so it's done at the sender's convenience. You know, it's expanded to support a variety of business activities that it was really never designed to support. You know, things like project coordination, knowledge management, file repositories, all of those things. And because email doesn't distinguish between any of them, it's not optimized for any of them. You know, it's a jack of all trade, master of none. You know, so you've got that issue just to begin with. Then once you introduce the human element to it, you know, people, we just tend to complicate things. So, you know, users often get opted into threads that really aren't meaningful to them. I mean, anyone who has direct reports is going to receive emails on a daily basis that aren't necessarily relevant to what that person is doing on that day, but it's kind of just, you know, one of their direct reports waving a flag saying, hey, I'm over here, I'm working, you know. But at the end of the day, all of this information that's, you know, that you get opted into on non-relevant activities forces the end user to process unnecessary mail and really just adds a lot of noise and volume to an already overflowing inbox. The fact that we can, you know, now add in things like skill profiling through connections allows you to really look at, you know, what does this person do, you know, so that you can ensure that folks, you know, don't get excluded from email that would be meaningful to the work that they're doing, you know. So for most people, the net result is that their current email requires them to spend a sizable portion of their time processing email, you know, and the overall reaction time of the user and decision making and, you know, getting attachments rather than links, you know, gets you access to outdated data, you know, making bad business decisions. All of these things are, you know, put the focus and the center of gravity of someone's collaborative world in their inbox, and it really doesn't belong there. You need to push these things over to repositories that are going to foster and promote, you know, richer interactions with other people and, you know, promote knowledge sharing and create a, you know, broader, deeper set of relationship across your network. And so what we're doing with, you know, Connections Mail and this broader social mail strategy is really designed to support that transition, you know, so that we can connect the user to the right conversations and the content that they need rather than it being on the onus of the end user to go and find it. You'll get notifications from your communities in your inbox so that, you know, in essence, your inbox can transition from a process-oriented inbox to one that's kind of more the central hub of their social activity and becomes, you know, really a better reflection of the work that they're doing.
And Stuart, when we did the Lotusphere live podcast and also Twill the Movie, You'd asked the question about what one word would you describe Lotusphere as, and I think I made some sarcastic remark. Shocker.
you might.
I would use one of Jason's words he used in that previous section, and that is real. The stuff we've been kind of seeing and have been promised and have been shown the vision over and over again for 3 to 4 years, I think 2012 is a year it becomes real.
I think you're right. I think the promise is being delivered, and as we go through 2012, I think we'll see that in our customers, in, you know, in organizations that use IBM Lotus technology, and it's fantastic to see that exciting kind of roadmap being laid out for real. I think the other thing I would pick up is in terms of surrounding Microsoft. You know, I think going into an organization today and saying, yeah, you're on Microsoft Exchange, let us shift you to Domino. You know, let us take one commodity email platform and move it to another commodity email platform, I think isn't going to wash with anybody. The costs of doing that, the effort of doing that isn't going to make a lot of sense for a lot of organizations. But suddenly, if you can say, let's take Exchange and SharePoint and say they're fine as they stand, you know, it wouldn't be what we choose to put in, but, you know, they work great in your environment. And let's surround that by this social layer of connections, and we'll access, you know, Exchange in terms of Connections Mail, and we'll pull in SharePoint repositories and make that part of you know, the Connections communities. Suddenly you're offering so much more. You're offering a real social enterprise environment that people can work in, and at some point down the line it may well be that, you know, commodity email moves to some other commodity email platform, but you're still offering value to the organization. I think that's a really nice strategy for IBM to have.
And that's exactly right. And we think that, you know, ultimately customers want their users living in that more social oriented environment. They don't want them living in their inbox. So if, you know, you have made a messaging decision on Exchange, you don't have to, you know, upset that part of the business in order to still reach your destination. You know, there's many points to the destination. You know, we do believe that, you know, at a point in time down the line, folks may say, hey, look, you know, this is a commodity. And, you know, if we want to move this up to the cloud, we can do that. It wouldn't even require to have the old traditional, you know, Domino versus Exchange conversation anymore, because you're just saying, look, we're going to host your messaging. The fact that it's, you know, it's Domino based rather than Exchange, it's all plumbing. It really should be transparent to the end user. So, you know, there's a lot of additional value that gets delivered in those kinds of environments. And that's why I think, you know, our focus has not been on what, you know, the analysts refer to as the ICE market, you know, the traditional email battles that we used to get into with Microsoft and you know user share and all that stuff. We've really seen and I've laid out a strategy to help the market evolve to a social collaboration platform. And so that's why you see analysts creating new terms like the social platform space, where we happen to be number one. You know, that's a reflection of how the market has changed, and we're helping to drive that change. And I think the environment ultimately we provide, whether you're a Domino customer or an Exchange customer, is more in line with where real business value gets delivered in the type of environment that people want their users spending the majority of their time in rather than their inbox.
So while talking about change, see how I did that? That was kind of cool, wasn't it?
That was nice. I'm feeling a transition.
Yeah. The most talked about feature that I've been asked about since I got back from Lotusphere by tens, if not 50 to 70 customers already, they've asked about the quote-unquote plugin for Lotus Notes. So that's obviously a big change from what we've seen over the past couple of years. Obviously, when 4.6 came out, well, I'm sure my age now, you know, we were told, oh, it's dead easy to web app, Domino application, you just put in a URL and bang, it works. Well, yeah, that was fine when it was a static HTML page. And lately, since 8.5, it's been X pages. And now suddenly, and I saw it in Lola, the Notes plugin blew me away. And I think as a talking point, this is probably the one area that I personally have been asked about the most since we got back. So do you want to talk about what change that brings about inside of an organization and what the actual plugin can and cannot do?
Sure. And I'd say one of the reasons this was, for me, I think it was my 17th Lotusphere, but you know, certainly one of the better ones of the last couple of years, is because with all the success and reaction we got by showing the plugin at Lola, I was basically put under a gag order for both the plugin and connections mail. So it was just great to go down to Lotusphere and be able to see these things get talked about in the OGS so I could finally talk about them again. So it's good to have the gag order lifted. The Notes application plugin, and we're going to still have a naming exercise to go through.
Yes, for those that are, it needs to be at least 15 words.
I don't know how we came up with IBM Docs. You know, to me, that's where all the kind of naming we should have. So I'm liking that trend. I'm going to see if we can't continue it. But for those that have not had the benefit of being exposed to this yet, what we're referring to here is a browser plugin that would, in essence, allow you to run your Domino applications in the context of the browser without having to touch the design of those applications. So this is a key complementary set of technologies to our existing XPages capabilities to extend your Domino apps to browser users that, you know, in the past may not have been accessible to those browser users. We already touched on sort of the increase in trend that we've seen of customers looking to make greater utilization of browser clients. And, you know, it's funny, I've had customers come to me over the last, you know, year to 18 months and say, you know, we're going to browser clients. Are you going to help us or stand in our way? And I've always thought that was funny that a customer would think that somehow I would have a vested interest as to whether they used a rich client or a browser. In fact, you know, not only have we anticipated that this change would be coming, we've anticipated it some time ago. In fact, in my first stop within product management, one of the things I did that I'm most proud of is about 10 years or so ago, I wrote a strategy document that essentially predicted the point in time that we've reached now. So it was both good and bad. It was great that I was able to accurately predict the future 10 years out. What was bad was that I wrote it in WordPro format. So I wrote this great strategy document, and it's in a format that no one supports anymore. So I'm not sure what that says. But, you know, the idea is that for most customers, when they look to make greater utilization of browser clients, one of the first things they realize is that they have a greater inventory of apps that were not web accessible than they previously thought. And so that becomes, in essence, a hurdle that they have to clear in order to realize their strategy of, you know, making greater utilization of these browser clients and all the business value benefits that come with it. And so what we're looking to do through the plugin is really extend those applications. Now, the idea is that the intent is that it'll support the broadest range of Domino apps possible. There are two apps that we know going in will not be supported. The first would be mail, because if you're going to use mail in a browser, you should be using iNotes, not the mail template. So that's right. Kind of obvious. The second is composite apps, just because there's no mechanism by which to kind of feed data from one app to the other through the context of the plugin. But other than that, you know, the idea is that any Domino app you've got you'd basically be able to run through the plugin in the context of the browser. We have plans. Well, all of our browser plans have not been finalized yet. The idea is to support Firefox 5 and above, as well as IE 8 and above. We'll have to utilize an ActiveX on IE, and it'll be Windows clients only, at least initially. So certainly we want to we're continuing to evaluate the possibility of supporting Citrix clients, but also we'll look in the future to support Mac clients and the smart cloud environment. As I noted before, the plugin will be part of the Social Edition code, so folks looking to utilize or get early access to it will be able to do so via the betas. In terms of, you know, how does this fit within our X Pages strategy? That's a question I get with some regularity. Really, the plugin is a fantastic complement to the existing X Pages capabilities. X Pages continues to be the preferred method for extending and modernizing mission critical applications. So, you know, for those top priority applications, you know, X Pages is still the way to go. For applications that are continuing to deliver business value, or maybe even ones that you want to modernize with X Pages, but maybe aren't your first priority to do so, the plugin is a great, you know, complement to extend those out to have immediate access to them. In terms of when you may want to use X Pages versus the plugin, you know, some general guidelines would be if, you know, the application is one of your most mission critical apps, is the idea to extend the application to mobile users as well. Do you want to modernize the look and feel of the app to include kind of more Web 2.0 constructs? Do you want to optimize the user experience by bringing data, you know, in from other areas, whether they're social services apps or from portal, things of that nature? You know, if you answer yes to any of those types of questions, then X Pages is probably the way to go. If you're not planning on doing that and you were using, you know, considering using X Pages, the plugin might be a better alternative there.
And what I think, you know, my stock answer lately has been that the plugin frees you up from having to go back and re-architect every single application that you want to get out to your workforce via a browser. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to concentrate on X Pages for a lot more net new development instead of trying to learn X Pages to build what you've already got. Learn X Pages to build something new.
Exactly. So this is it allows you to extend all of your existing apps in a very meaningful way without, you know, any significant investment of time or resource.
I think it's terrific. And then again, like Darren mentioned, this is the one I'm getting all the questions about. It's this and Connections Mail probably. I think it's phenomenal that you guys have got this into the roadmap, and I think it's going to solve an awful lot of customer issues by having it. One quick question is how big is the plugin? And I guess, will it get cached on browsers so it doesn't have to be downloaded every time?
Yeah, so it will definitely be, you know, once installed, it's there. So you bring it down for your first application, and it's there for all apps. So it would be on that machine, you know. So as long as you're on that same machine, it would be present there. In terms of the kind of download we're looking at, we're using a sort of litmus test of many popular browser plugins that are out there. So, you know, the Adobe Acrobat Reader is a good example in terms of the size of the file and how long it'll take to download it and install it. I think that's a pretty good estimate as to what the user experience will be like. So that's where, you know, we're using sort of, you know, market standard standards, if you will, for how big that should be.
So to bring this to a close, because we're running out of time as we so often do, and it's been phenomenal what you've shared today, Jason. I really appreciate what you've added to this podcast. How would you kind of feel about 2012? You've already mentioned you thought Lowsphere was one of the best ones of recent years. Do you feel like 2012 is set up to be a great year for what was Lotus and is now IBM Collaboration Solutions?
I really do. And in fact, I feel like we've got, you know, more momentum right now than we've had in quite some time, and it's been very pleasing. I think, you know, like we've discussed over the course of this last hour, you know, people are starting to see the delivery of capabilities of what was, you know, part of what we outlined as the Project Vulcan vision. That's why we're not really talking about Project Vulcan anymore, because we're basically delivering on that vision. So, you know, the fact is that people are seeing this stuff is real. Customers are seeing that the business value related to these types of solutions are real. We've got a lot of cool capabilities that are coming that are going to help customers in meaningful ways. Again, whether they've been Domino customers or Exchange customers, that there's a lot of opportunity here and the ways in which we're innovating and advancing the platform while at the same time extending it to be used in lots of new cool ways. You know, it's got a lot of excitement out there and the message is really resonating. So I feel very good about where the business is on a personal level. I feel selfishly awesome in terms of the things that I cover. You know, I've got, you know, the greatest clients that are out there. I've got, you know, products that are used by, you know, tens of millions of people, probably, you know, used by more end users than almost anything else that comes out of IBM Software Group. I've got, you know, the things that relate to the traditional Notes Domino set of capabilities. I've got the thing that bridges those capabilities into these next generation social solutions. So both at a corporate and an environment and personal level, I have a lot of excitement for what we're going to be able to achieve here in 2012.
That's fantastic. I'm really excited about it, and I know Darren is as well, and it's great to hear more about the stuff you're going to be rolling out this year. So as ever, we will close with a quick tip from each of our guests. Let's start with Darren. What's your tip?
So this week, Philip Riand, I'm going to brutalize his name, Qian Liang, maybe, and Nicholas Nicholas Hildorf released Workflow for X Pages, and this was something else that was talked about at Lola, and there was a lot of positive feedback about having a workflow engine for X Pages that's kind of free or built into the product. And when we talked about it, I didn't expect to see it for at least a year from now. So it just goes to show, A, the power of X Pages, and B, the fact it's released and is extensible and allows you to plug in your own workflow engine on the back end. So any BPM solution you may have, you are free to write an API for it, and off you go. And I think this plugs a massive gap inside of the Notes Domino architecture, because Notes and Domino initially were always sold as workflow applications. And I always argued that app mail send, not a workflow app makes. So it's good to see that this is being embraced so fast. And I mean, just the number of hits on Planet Lotus for this release was massive. So you know, if you're looking at workflow, if you're even looking at X Pages, go look at the demo and download it. It's nothing short of phenomenal. And then also on the X Pages side, the third iteration of the X Pages design contest by OpenNTF and the guys at We for IT is around. And it looks like the prizes have been dramatically increased. I think they've been doubled. So not only doubled, but I think there's up to four winners now, right, Stuart? You probably know more about that than I do.
Yeah, the prizes have been doubled and the number of winners have been doubled as well. So it's looking like an even more spectacular development contest than we've had before. Really are very excited by that. And the guys at We4IT that are sponsoring that contest have stumped up more money than they did previously and are really keen to get some good solutions put on OpenNTF as a result. So do take a look at that link. We've got it in the show notes. Thank you, Darren. And Jason, do you have a tip for us?
Yeah, actually, I've got two. I guess one for all of your podcast needs. I have to thank and recommend the Jabra headset I'm using here today. And I want to thank the Jabra guys for hooking me up with it because it's great.
And please listen to him. All IBMers who were scheduled for the podcast, listen to Jason. He's right.
He sounds so good.
He knows what he's talking about, and he sounds so clean and clear. And then lastly, because I'm always surprised. Again, I have the benefit of, you know, usually talking to the most knowledgeable Notes Domino IBM personnel within an organization, and I'm always surprised at the number of folks who don't know about this next thing I'm going to tell you about, which is the Swiftfile utility. So if you're not familiar with it, it's a utility that is in the box. I think it's also out on OpenNTF, so a plug to those guys. Would strongly recommend you guys go get it if you don't have it already. What it is, it's a simple utility installs on your local Notes client. And basically what it does is it looks at the emails you receive and what you do with them. And then at the top of each email, it provides three suggested folders that you might want to put that email in based on how you've interacted with other emails you've received in the past. So at the, you know, most superficial level, it saves you, you know, probably a second on an operation you do countless times every day, you know, so it makes the sorting of information easier. If you go a little deeper, you know, it makes the retrieval of information easier because you're applying a more consistent sorting standard. But the reason I bring it up and what I find very appealing about it and exciting about it is that it's, I think, a very simple, easy to understand example of how you can utilize analytics to deliver a dynamic, customized, personalized user experience. And so if you look at Swiftfile in that context and then start to, you know, put it imagine SwiftFly on steroids, where we're using analytics all over the place and really looking at the kind of data you're receiving and who you're interacting with and utilizing social analytics as well. You can start to, you know, paint a picture for yourself as to what the client experience might look like in the years ahead as we are able to make greater use of analytics to deliver that dynamic, personalized client experience.
Absolutely. I love SwiftFile. Just wish it was available for the Mac. So that's one request for me.
Hint, cough, cough. Yeah,
and yes, it's something being discussed. It's being discussed.
And also, I would love just to be able to select multiple emails I know want to go to the same place and then click on the SwiftFile link to go to that folder. That would be really neat. But anyway, great solution. I love SwiftFile to bits. A few quick tips from me. One is that I've been asking for a long time to have a way of turning off widgets, the widgets tab within Connections UI, particularly if you're deploying for a new customer. Widgets is kind of the old way of doing things. Activity streamers are new. And I've been asking for that. And actually, it turns out it's already in the product. So my bad. It's in version 3 and 3.01. You just go to homepage admin in and then you can turn it off. There's just a simple checkbox and it even goes immediately. You disable it. It's fantastic. So have a look for that if you want to get rid of widgets in your environment.
So was that an apology?
That was an apology. Hands up. My bad. Also, Auslug is coming up very soon in March. Great job by Matt Newman and the guys over there. They've just announced their key speakers, Ed Brill and Mr. Michael Sampson. If you haven't seen particularly Michael, but also Ed as well, speak previously, get yourself along to Auslug. It should be an amazing event. All the details, just search for Auslug, or there'll be a link in the show notes. Finally, on events, UC Expo is coming up, also in March, 6th and 7th of March at Olympia in London. If you're in the UK, get yourself along to UC Expo. Despite the name, it's actually now as much a social business show as it is about universal comms. We'll have a link in the show notes to go to that. Collaboration Matters are involved in that event, and we're doing some pretty spectacular things there. I won't talk about it here, but you'll see some stuff on the blog pretty soon. And as ever, we end just by going around the table one more time just to ask how people find you. So, Darren, where can you be found?
blog.darrenduke.net. I swear I'm going to blog again in the first quarter of 2012. And Darren Duke, all one word for my rants about whoever it is that is the target of my ire this week. I can't even remember who I'm ranting about right now.
Awesome. And Jason, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at 280ParkFan. A lot of people go, well, what's this 280 Park about? Well, I'm a big NFL fan, and the headquarters of the NFL are at 280 Park Ave, New York. So that's the little tidbit of trivia there, the origin of that. So you'll find me at Twitter at 280ParkFan, and you can also find me on LinkedIn as well as Jason Dumont up there.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And I'm Stuart McIntyre. You can find me at Stuart McIntyre on Twitter or at blog.collaborationmatters.com. So that brings us to the end of This Week in Lotus. I hope you've enjoyed this session. Jason, thank you so much for taking part. Thank you for all the information you've shared. It's great to have you on, so thank you very much.
Again, my pleasure, Darren Stewart. Thanks for having me, and thanks for your continued support of the Notes Domino and IBM community. We certainly appreciate everything that you guys do, and as well as all the listeners enjoying the podcast today.
Okay, it's a pleasure and honor to be doing this. It's great when we have guests like you come on to share with us. So, Darren, always great to speak to you, mate, and we will be back next Thursday for another episode. I hope you've enjoyed this one, and this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
Ever since you mentioned Ajax of a size, I have just been thinking about an early morning TV show where there's some sweaty dude on a Hawaiian beach doing exercises and teaching me the basics of Ajax. I think that would be a great TV show.